Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. Happy Halloween. Let's begin on the front page. Restaurant plans under review, city to consider proposal for project at Eastland Mall. The owner of Eastland Mall has submitted a plan for an unidentified new restaurant that would be located in the parking lot near the former Macy's store. The Bloomington Planning Commission has set a hearing for 4 p.m. November the 8th at City Hall to review and act on a petition submitted by Chattanooga, Tennessee-based CBL Properties. We have submitted a plan for review, but I am unable to disclose the details at this time, CBL spokeswoman Stacy Keating said in an email. The name of the restaurant has not been disclosed to city officials either. In the site plan submitted to the city's Community Development Department, a new building is labeled as a restaurant pad in the northeast corner of the mall at Empire Street and Veterans Parkway. The vacant Macy's store is on the parking lot's west side, and to the south is the Sears Automotive Center. Our zoning ordinance requires a site plan review for properties in this C3 zoning district, which is for community and regional shopping centers, said Bloomington City Planner Katie Simpson. A site plan review is just an opportunity for the Planning Commission and the public to look at the larger picture and have some input in the development of the site. Things that are reviewed are landscaping, parking, building orientation, building setbacks, and how traffic will flow on the site, she added. The proposed project appears to be similar to the 1995 development of the nearby Applebee's Neighborhood Grill and Bar in the mall's southeast corner at Veterans Parkway of Eastland Drive, said Simpson and Bloomington Economic Development Coordinator Austin Grammer. It's a land lease, so CBL will still retain ownership of the property, said Simpson. If the commission approves, the matter will go before the city council next month or in December for final approval. The city's issuance of any building permits is pending that approval and receipt of construction plans for the building, said Grammer. Keating did not provide any new information about CBL's plans to fill the former Macy's store that was a major retail anchor at the mall until it closed in March. CBL purchased that property for $2 million, according to property transfer records. An Eastland Mall site plan on its website shows Planet Fitness plans to occupy 20,119 square feet of the former 71,000 square foot JCPenney store that opened November 1966. It was among 138 stores nationwide that the national retailer announced in March it was closing. We plan to make a full announcement with all the details surrounding Planet Fitness as well as a fashion retailer as soon as plans are finalized, said Keating. The company recently changed its name from CBL and Associates Properties to CBL Properties as part of a rebranding initiative to reflect its many mall properties evolving as not just about retail or shopping, to serving as gathering places for their respective communities, CBL said in a news release. CBL said the changing nature of its shopping centers is being made with the addition of more food, entertainment, service, fitness, and other new uses, and we are actively exploring adding hotels, medical, office, residential, and education components, said the company. CBL is one of the largest owners and developers of malls and shopping centers in the United States, owning or holding interests in or managing 121 properties, including 78 regional malls, open-air centers in 27 states, according to its website. The large photo on the front page shows men and women standing with signs, and the caption says, More than 100 men and women joined together outside the McLean County Museum of History on Monday as they remembered victims of domestic violence. Sponsored by Mid-Central Community Action's Countering Domestic Violence Program, the event was designed to symbolically encircle those who have experienced domestic violence. And the article is A Stand Against a Human Issue. More than 120 people stood against domestic violence and for domestic violence survivors Monday in downtown Bloomington. Lining three sides of the McLean County Museum of History, a cross-section of Bloomington Normal participated in a first-time domestic violence awareness rally, whose focus was to get more men involved in the issue. Most of the participants were men, including representatives of Illinois State University Athletics, law enforcement, 100 Black Men of Central Illinois, and churches. This is not a women's issue, said Matt Dratt, Director of Resource Development and Community Engagement for Mid-Central Community Action, MCCA, that organized the rally because its services included the Countering Domestic Violence Program. This is a human issue. One in three women and one in seven men in the United States will be physically assaulted by a partner in her or his lifetime, said Dratt, adding five individuals have died in McLean County of domestic violence since 2011. I grew up in a home where my father beat my mother on a regular basis, he said. It is time for us to stand up and say enough. Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner said, "We have calls regarding domestic violence almost daily. We see it firsthand. We also know it's underreported. Anything we can do to help to raise awareness, we want to do." Participants held up signs on which they wrote for whom they were standing. Brian Huffman's daughter, Eunice, 3, held up a sign that said, "My mom." "I am here because I am a survivor of domestic violence," Huffman, 38, of Bloomington, told the Pantograph after the event. "I was in a relationship with her dad for 2 years, and I ended up leaving when she was 6 weeks old. I did it for my daughters and my son. We are setting an example for our children on how to be treated." Huffman held up the name of a coworker who has just come out about her domestic violence experience from a prior relationship. "I know that domestic violence doesn't only happen to women, but it's mostly women," she said. "Anyone who is involved in an abusive relationship should find a trusted friend to partner with, to find a safe place to get out," Huffman said. Her advice to others is be a friend to them and let them know they are loved and supported. John Liebert of Bloomington held up a sign that said, "My sister." "I'm representing my sister, Judy, who lives in Florida and escaped a 30-year abusive marriage 15 years ago," Liebert said. "Every time I and other family members tried to make a positive change, she got beaten up more. We need to stand up and support organizations working with men and women who need help," Liebert said. Bob Bradley of Bloomington stood up for his mother. He said his father's abuse of his mother was verbal and physical. "It was so regular, I thought that's just what every family did," Bradley said. "If you're in that situation, talk with someone about it," said Bradley, adding that leaving is hard because of the abuser's control of everything, but non-judgmental help is available. Men want to take an important part to bring awareness to domestic violence and to be strong to stop domestic violence in McLean County, said Jerome Maddox, representing 100 Black Men of Central Illinois. "If we can stand in harmony, we can go a long way to bring awareness to domestic violence." ISU men's basketball coach Dan Muller said, "We talk to our team a lot about domestic violence and how to treat people with respect. We feel strongly about it." Added ISU football coach Brock Spack, "We deal with young men and we want to make sure that they understand that it's important to treat all people with respect." Student athletes representing the men's basketball team were Matthew Hine and Jaron Martin. I know a couple victims of domestic violence, Martin said. Fortunately, nothing tragic happened, but it's something that people carry with them for the rest of their lives. If you see something, speak up, Martin said. You could be the one voice that could save a person's life or stop a situation from getting worse. Dratt conceded after the rally that he had hoped for 200 participants, but said that he appreciated the diversity of the group. This is a great beginning, he said. Help is available. Anyone who experiences or witnesses domestic violence in which there is immediate danger should call 911. Victims not in immediate danger and people who suspect domestic violence should call and speak with a trained advocate. The number is 309-827-7070. Daily Digest. Sign-ups available for Angel Tree. DeWitt County families who need assistance with holiday gifts for their children can sign up through November the 17th for the DeWitt County Angel Tree. Applications are available at all Clinton school offices and Head Start for Clinton and Waynesville students. Online applications are available by contacting Sue Calvert at suecalvert13@gmail.com. Farmer City and Weldon students are eligible through a separate gift distribution program. The contacts for those communities are Linda or Amanda Harmon at 309-846-8500 or harmon.linda, spelled with a Y, at yahoo.com. The holiday gift assistance is for children birth through 18 and includes those who are homeschooled or attend alternative education and specialized school programs. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, October 31st, the 304th day of 2017. There are 61 days left in the year. This is Halloween. Today's highlight. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther sent his 95 Theses, denouncing what he saw as the abuses of the Catholic Church, especially the sale of indulgences, to the Archbishop of Mainz, Germany. By some accounts, Luther also posted the Theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, marking the start of the Protestant Reformation. On this date, in 1795, English poet John Keats was born in London. In 1864, Nevada became the 36th state, as President Abraham Lincoln signed a proclamation. In 1926, magician Harry Houdini died in Detroit of peritonitis resulting from a ruptured appendix. In 1941, the Navy destroyer USS Reuben James was torpedoed by a German U-boat off Iceland with the loss of some 100 lives, even though the United States had not yet entered World War II. Work was completed on the Mount Rushmore National Memorial in South Dakota, begun in 1927. In 1956, Navy Rear Admiral George J. Dufek and six others became the first air travelers to set foot at the South Pole. In 1967, Nguyen Van Thieu took the oath of office as the first president of South Vietnam's Second Republic. Thought for today. There are very few monsters who warrant the fear we have of them. Written by André Gide, French author and critic, 1869 to 1951. Today's flick question. True or false, in Illinois, Halloween has become a holiday more for adults than children? And the flick answer, it's apparently true. In Illinois, 62% of Halloween costumes are now sold to adults, according to Illinois Retail Merchants Statistics. Rotary Club helps beautify street. Residents can thank an Australian for planting a seed that led a local service organization to beautify a 3-mile stretch of West Market Street by planting trees. After several months of planning with city officials, members of Sunset Rotary Club of Bloomington Normal will begin planting trees and other foliage Wednesday to create the Sunset Gateway along the street. That's a great project, said Assistant City Manager Steve Rasmussen. What happened as we developed Market Street over the years is the large trees, which they called the mother trees, that provided shade and green space were all cut down. So that West Market Street area has a lot of asphalt and concrete and signs and buildings, and it's not as attractive as it was when it had trees. The Sunset Rotary Club has volunteered to fund replacing the mother trees and to help plant them, Rasmussen noted. The idea began earlier this year when Australian Ian Risley, the 2017-18 president of Rotary International, challenged every Rotarian to plant a tree this year because trees remove carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases from the air, which slows global warming, according to club member Joe Graybill of Normal. Eventually, the local group decided to undertake a multi-year initiative to follow up on an earlier plan to enhance the entryway to Bloomington's west side and highlight its role as a gateway to the whole community, said Graybill. The first phase will include 28 trees to be planted along the western stretch of West Market Street, paid for by a district Rotary grant, matched by contributions from members of Sunset Rotary. Graybill and fellow club member Doug McCarty designed the project in consultation with Bloomington Assistant Park Superintendent David Lamb. Staff from Bloomington Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts Department will do the planting with Rotary volunteers. Work on the Sunset Gateway will begin at 8 a.m. Wednesday along the west end of Market Street near Interstate 74 and Interstate 55 in Bloomington. Volunteers who want to help can gather about 10 a.m. at the BP gas station, 1903 West Market Street. Parking is available in the empty lot next to the gas station. The project will include indigenous trees, shrubs, and perennials on a parkway and other enhancements to both sides of a 3-mile stretch of Market Street from Wiley Drive west of I-74 and I-55 to downtown Bloomington. In addition to the trees, 40 to 50 perennials will also be planted to provide an attractive wave of colors, textures, and shapes. Along with Graybill and McCarty, Sunset Rotary Club team members guiding the initial stage of the project are Bree Menzer, Mike Corzine, Shamel Graybill, Ron Hardy, and incoming president Ramesh Chowdhury. Among other Rotary clubs participating is Daybreak Rotary Club, which has committed to planting trees in the area of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church on West Market. West Side Enterprises and residents are invited to participate and contribute, said Joe Graybill. For more information about the Sunset Gateway Project, contact Joe Graybill at 309-530-1916. LaHood lauds ag at stop, Congressman tours former UAW Hall. The last time U.S. Representative Darren LaHood went by 10282 East County Road, 1400 North in rural Bloomington, it was a United Auto Workers building. They were incredibly gracious and sold us the property, said Gene Payne, president of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, which now helps run an ag training facility there. Their philosophy is employee health and safety, so it was really good feelings for everybody that this was going to be used as a safety and educational center. UAW Local 2488, which represented workers at the Mitsubishi Motors North America plant down the street in Normal until it closed in 2016, sold its former union hall for $560,000 that June, according to county records. Just a few months after Mitsubishi laid off most workers in November of 2015, the plant's new owner, electric car maker Rivian Automotive, has not said whether it will use union labor. LaHood, a Dunlap Republican who represents parts of Bloomington Normal, toured the Ag Building Monday and learned about its new mission, educating the next generation of farmers to use fertilizing and chemical spreading equipment. Asmark Institute, a Kentucky company, owns and operates the facility with assistance from IFCA, which is based in Bloomington, and sent officials to welcome LaHood. They spoke about available classes and showed off some equipment necessary to train farm employees. "We used to hire a lot of people off the farm who knew how to drive tractors and equipment, but now we are hiring kids who came from urban settings, and you can't, on day one, stick them in a $250,000 piece of equipment and say, 'Here, have fun,'" said Payne. "This is like boot camp for them." LaHood noted the facility, which hosts training that attracts employees from across the United States and Canada, boosts the local economy as well. "This helps when I go back to Washington, D.C. and work on a farm bill next year, and we look at how we help our farmers, whether it's crop insurance or decreasing regulations," he said. "Farmers are the best stewards of their land, and getting government out of the way is what we need to do more." LaHood also spoke to reporters about Monday's unveiling of charges against President Donald Trump's former campaign manager Paul Manafort and associate Rick Gates, as well as the upcoming GOP tax reform plan. "I don't see any connection to voter fraud or election fraud or anything connected to the Trump administration," said LaHood, a former federal prosecutor of the charges. "I don't think the president should think about firing special counsel Bob Mueller." LaHood did not say whether he'll support a tax reform bill that increases the deficit, as some members of Congress have pledged not to do, instead saying businesses and families alike can benefit from a tax cut. "We think that will help the economy," he said. "That will get us back to a growth rate of 3 or 4% and bring down our debt." There are a couple of photos on this page. Preparing for the Flying Aces. Workers apply logos for sponsors of the Flying Aces hockey team Wednesday at Grossinger Motors Arena. The logos are being embedded in new ice that is being laid for the team's appearance on November the 10th when they take on the Youngstown Phantoms. The new ice, repair of boards and glass, are phase one of a two-part project that will see installation of new Dasher boards around December the 15th. The work should be completed in time for the Flying Aces home game on December the 29th. The large logo is a photo of a airplane with its mouth open and giant teeth. And then another photo shows a man working for Stark Excavating, does preliminary concrete work for repair of the ramps Wednesday at Grossinger Motors Arena. He is breaking up concrete. Arena officials are planning a variety of improvements as the building reaches its 10th birthday. Back to articles. Dismantling Oppression, Goal of Conference. Bridging Divides, Becoming Allies is the title of the 2017 Illinois State University Culturally Responsive Campus Community, CRCC, conference, which will be November 6th to the 7th at ISU's Bone Student Center. The event will include panel discussions, presentations, and interactive workshops on topics including ageism, LGBTQ issues, race, and the wage gap. The goal of the conference is to create spaces that work to bridge divides and challenge us all to become better allies, CRCC member Stacy Harden said in a prepared statement. The conference will explore current systems of oppression in place in the surrounding community and understanding what it means to challenge and dismantle systems of oppression. Participants will be encouraged to gain skills to confront biases and misconceptions. The conference, which is free and open to the public, is being co-sponsored by YWCA McLean County. This past year, we have suffered devastating environmental and economic losses and endured direct attacks on the rights of immigrants, LGBTQ folks, and people of color, said Jennifer Carrillo, YWCA Mission Impact Director. People opposed to oppression need to organize and build power, she said. In our current political climate, it is so important for the entire community to come together and find solutions to the issues our community faces, said Hardin, an assistant professor in special education at ISU. The conference will include keynote speakers Carol Boston Weatherford and Francesca Ramsey. Boston Weatherford, a New York Times best-selling author who teaches at Fayetteville State University in North Carolina, will speak from 10:45 to 11:45 a.m. November the 6th. Ramsey, an actress, writer, and video blogger based in New York City, will speak 6:30 p.m. on November the 6th. Among presentations will be a play, The Verdict, A Fight for Justice, by YWCA Stepping Stones program at 11:15 a.m. November the 7th. Stepping Stones is YWCA's Sexual Assault Prevention and Response program. Arts in Brief. Theater. Players Musical. The musical comedy Sister Act is the next offering from Bloomington's Community Players Theater, opening at 7:30 p.m. November the 2nd on the Robin Hood Lane stage with a Pay What You Can preview. The regularly ticketed performances continue at 7:30 p.m. November 3rd, 4th, 10th, 11th, 17th, and 18th with 2:30 p.m. matinees on November 5th, 12th, and 19th. Admission is $8 to $18 at the Players Box Office, which can be reached by calling 309-663-2121. Sister Act, based on the hit film starring Whoopi Goldberg, follows a murder witness and wannabe diva who hides out in a convent disguised as a nun and eventually takes over the convent's failing choir. Student Music. Illinois Wesleyan University's New Music Series will present a student composition concert at 8 p.m. Thursday in Westbrook Auditorium on campus. The free performance will feature four works composed or improvised and performed by current IWU students. Composers and performers include Matt Capone, Alex Riak, Bridget Broderick, Jenna Simon, and Minji Will. Percussion Ensemble. Illinois State University's Percussion Ensemble, featuring guest artist Matt Jacklin, will present a free concert at 7 p.m. November the 5th in Kemp Recital Hall on campus. Jacklin, professor of percussion at Olivet Nazarene University, will be featured marimba soloist on Aurora Borealis by John Thrower. Also on the concert bill are four movements from Paul Lansky's Threads, Dave Hall's Tilted Spheres, and Ivan Trevino's Six. Sister City Forum. The speaker for this year's Vladimir Canterbury Sister City Association William Luther White Forum is Dr. Mark Soderstrom, Associate Professor and Program Chair in the Department of History at Aurora University in Aurora. Soderstrom, a historian of the Russian Empire, will speak at 7 p.m. November the 6th in Calvary United Methodist Church, 1700 North Towanda Avenue in Normal. His topic will be Putin's Empire of the Past, History, Memory, and Politics in 21st Century Russia. Soderstrom has traveled widely across Russia and has studied at Moscow State University, St. Petersburg State University, and Irkutsk State Linguistic University. The public is invited to his presentation. We have now come to the end of the first half hour of the Pantograph. We'll take a short break. Please stay tuned.